Morning, Matthew in chapter number 22. Announced on Thursday night that on Friday, Chick-fil-A had their dress up like a cow. You can get free meal. I got a picture of Brother Miss Mullins dressed up like a cow. It's great. I may need to print that out and bring it to church tonight. That'd be great. Amen. That'd be super. We'll put that up. And I think he got so excited with that Chick-fil-A sandwich in his hand, he hurt his wrist. You know, he's just, oh, yeah, there it is. See ya. I asked him how he heard it. I said, I don't know. I said, Chick-fil-A. Yeah, that's what it was, all right? But, oh, boy. All right, Matthew chapter 22, and in verse number 1. The other day, a couple weeks ago, received an invitation to Jordan Wilson and Christina's wedding, which is coming up pretty soon. Real soon, huh, Brother Doug? It's coming up? Yeah, he's excited, I'm sure. I know Jerrica's excited because she gets a room. All right, so yeah, all right, so I know she's excited. But it's coming up, and I read it, and I looked over it, and it was really cool. First time I ever got to do this, I got the RSVP by using a text message. That was pretty neat. Never done that before. Of course, it said Mr. and Mrs. Hector Sharpetta and Mr. and Mrs. Douglas R. Wilson request the honor of your presence at the marriage of children Christina and Jordan on Saturday, August the 6th, at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, blah, 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 all that stuff. And I was looking at it, and, you know, it's exciting. It's an exciting time. And, you know, I'm sure if Jordan were over here, he'd be able to tell you probably how many hours till he gets married. He's excited about it. I know Christina's excited, and families are excited. We ought to be excited for him. That's an exciting thing. And it is truly an exciting thing. And, you know, I looked at that invitation, and I thought this. I'm glad the Lord invited all of us. So who all got the invitation? Whosoever will. Whosoever will. Here is a parable about this in Matthew chapter 22 and in verse number 1. It says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come into the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. The remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him out of darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. In this passage of Scripture, in context, I don't want to get away from that, in context, he's teaching a lesson how that Christ came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. His own people did not receive Christ. Matter of fact, they made light of him, just as it said, and they turned their back on them. His servants, of course, we know what happened to the early servants of Christ. They were bound. Some were martyred. Some were killed. You think of Stephen and people like that, who they had put to death. And we can see that there. And so we're seeing this parable is prophesying what would happen. And so the king, of course, is represented by Jesus, sent his armies in and destroyed the city and burned it down, which happened in AD 70. The armies were the Roman armies. They were sent in and they destroyed the city and burnt it to the ground, just like the parable said. And then, of course, he told his servants to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. The gospel was taken throughout the entire world to the Gentiles. And praise the Lord for that. We're here because of that, and that's a wonderful thing, too. So you have a picture here. But I think, you know, obviously the application is this as well. That invitation is one that is for everybody, But you have to receive it. You have to receive that invitation. And, you know, here this king had a marriage feast ready. And I think, without a doubt, this application can be made that it's the gospel. And it's there for each and every one of us. Some people made light of it, and they still do today. Some people decided that their farms and their merchandise, possessions, money, and jobs was more important than the gospel. There were others who, really despised the gospel, hated it, even to the point of murder. And they're there today as well. There was one person, it's interesting to read there, who the king saw, and we'll talk about him later, and he was there, but I'll give you the application, what that's about in a second. The fact is this, the gospel is preached, the gospel is for whosoever will, it's for all of us, praise the Lord for that. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. By believing the gospel, you can be saved. Amen? Praise the Lord for the gospel. There are four categories of people here. Got the invitation. They treated it differently. Everyone in this auditorium, everyone in this world today, falls under one of these four. You yourself must put yourself in one of these categories this morning. So I want us to pray. And I want you to examine this morning. And I would encourage you to do this. You see, sometimes we look at church as just something we do, you know, for a little over an hour and we go home. God wants to speak to you this morning. And what I want to encourage you to do is to take out a pen. And they're all going to start with the letter P. And I want you to write down all four of these that are found in this passage of Scripture. And before you leave this morning, I want you to underline where you fall. I want you to underline where you find yourself this morning. Now that's easily done. Every child can do it. I'll make sure I point them out. Teenagers can do this. Adults should do this. Because we all are going to fall into one of these categories. You say, I already know I'm saved on my way to heaven. By the time you're done, you ought to be able to underline that and put an amen next to it and rejoice if that's the case. It ought to bring great joy to your hearts. Well, let's pray and we'll look at the message this morning. Father, I pray that you'd bless the reading and the preaching of your word now. I pray, as I've already prayed, that you'd hide me. Father, may your scriptures be exalted. Jesus Christ be exalted. And I know that you'll speak in the hearts, and I pray that we'd be receptive this morning. Lord, may we see where we fall. And God, if there's someone here who's not accepted that gospel, I pray we just quit playing games, quit trying to rationalize, and we get saved today. We love you. In your name I pray. Amen. The very first category, ready? The very first one is procrastinators. Alright, procrastinators. People who put it aside. Do it later. Probably most people in here that are saved, at one time, we fell under that category. I know myself, I did. I knew the gospel, but I kept putting it aside. I said, I'll do it later. There's a couple of things, and you see it here in verse number 3. He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. They would not come. You know, there are some people who have heard the gospel, but they just haven't come yet. They just haven't accepted the gospel. I want to point out a few things about the gospel here in this verse, in verse number 3, that everybody is able to be saved. It says there, they would not come. It isn't that there wasn't anybody that could not come. They would not come. There's a big difference there. I'm looking at a congregation this morning and only God knows your heart. Only God knows my heart. Only God knows your heart. But there is no one in this auditorium who cannot be saved. There is no one who will ever listen to this message. Be it here this morning, be it on some CD, be it on some internet page. There's no one who will ever hear this message who cannot be saved until the Lord comes. If you're hearing this message And you're sitting here this morning looking at me. He said, why would you even say that? I've heard with my ears some people say, God couldn't save me. I've heard that. Well, you don't know how wicked a person I am. I've heard some people say this, I'm just not able to be saved. You're wrong. You are able to be saved. See, how do you know that? Because Christ already accomplished salvation's work on the cross about 2,000 years ago when He died upon that cross, took all of our sin upon Him. He died for our sins. He was buried, but He rose again, showing Himself victorious. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Believe that. It's already accomplished. You can be saved today. You say, well, I'm a very wicked, wicked person. Well, the Bible even covers that. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15. Yeah, you have to understand this. I know Paul said this. But Paul, we know from the book of Peter, only wrote what the Holy Ghost told him to write. True? I mean, these men didn't just make up things. The Holy Ghost directed these men's words. And God, the Holy Ghost, He cannot lie. Amen? Paul said this, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. If God saved that chief of sinners, He can save you too. Say, oh, Paul wasn't that bad. He was a murderer. He's prideful. He had all these things before salvation. But Christ saved him. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you're not saved today, understand this. It isn't that you cannot be saved. If you're not saved, it's because you will not be saved yet. But it's your choice. And I like, it's very important. It says there, they bid them to the wedding and they would not come. No one can leave the auditorium this morning and say, preacher, I just can't be saved. Yes, you can. Everybody's able. Look at verse number 4. Everybody's accommodated. I love that. Again, he wasn't, aren't you glad God doesn't give up on us? Amen. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come into the marriage. Everybody's able to be saved. Secondly, all accommodations have already been made. There is a place that is prepared for you. John chapter number 14 talks about it. Jesus said unto them, let not your heart be troubled to believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And we've talked about it many times. What had to be prepared? The death of Jesus Christ, His blood presented before a holy God. And when Jesus Christ, after He had died upon that cross, presented His holy, without blemish, perfectly righteous blood before a holy God, our sins were covered, the way was prepared, and all can go to heaven. It's all done. I'm very glad this morning that all accommodations have already been made. If you want to go to heaven, God says there's room for you. There's many mansions. Those mansions have all been there. They're still there. They're always going to be there. The mansions are there. The blood is there. And I believe from studying the Scriptures that there is room in heaven for all that would ever been alive on this earth. I mean, I don't know if you've ever studied that. 1,500 square miles. That's 1,500 square miles long, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high. You say, yeah, it's pretty high. An airplane travels at about 7 miles in the air. That's how high an airplane travels. Heaven's 1,500 miles high. That's hard to fathom, isn't it? Say, why do you make it so big? Christ prepared, made heaven so that every person could go to heaven. So how do you know that? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's room in glory. The blood is there. Everyone can go to heaven. You see, All are able. All the accommodations are there. Well, I'd like to talk about that a long time this morning, that street of gold, that river of life, that tree that's there. We could talk about all that's not in heaven. That'd make you shout. No sin in heaven. No sickness in heaven. No darkness in heaven. No thieves in heaven. Amen. These are great things. Then you start talking about what all is in heaven. And we could go on and on and on about what all is in heaven. But I tell you, the only thing that matters, that's where Christ is. And there we will be forever with Him. That's what makes it heaven. What makes heaven, heaven. I guarantee when we get to heaven, we won't be sitting there hugging those streets of gold saying, wow. We won't be going to some mansion and say, boy, look what I got. When we get to heaven, we'll be at His feet saying, glory to God. What makes it heaven is that Jesus is there. And by the way, what makes hell, hell, is that you're eternally separated from God. But praise God, anyone can be saved. There's room and glory. But the problem is people get allured, don't they? They make light of it. Look at verse number 5. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. They made light of the gospel. They knew the invitation was there. Nah. They knew the invitation was for them. But they went their way, the Bible says. There's a whole lot of people living their life their way today. Going and trying to get to heaven their way. A whole lot of people hear the message this morning. And they'll hear the gospel is for everyone. The gospel is there. By the way, in John chapter 14, when Jesus talked about preparing a place, He said this in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The way to glory is through Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm trying to get there my own way. Your way won't cut it. And I don't care what way you have devised, if it's not through Jesus Christ, it will lead towards destruction. They made light of the gospel. There's some teenagers sitting in here this morning. You're making light of the gospel. You're making light of the invitation of Christ. You're so used to things, you're so used to hearing all about it, that when you again sit in a service, you know you're lost, but it doesn't even move you anymore. Whatever. I just want to get out of here. I just want to go do my thing. I can't wait to get away. I can't wait till I turn 18, like 18's some magical number. You know when you become an adult? When you act like one. I know a lot of 30, 40-year-olds that aren't adults yet. Amen. Well, I'm 18. So what? Well, I want to do things. I don't like this way. There's only one way. People make light of it. They don't want to hear it anymore. They just kind of turn their ear away from it. Or, what else did they do in making light of it? Things and possessions were far more important. Said, I think last Sunday night, one of the reasons why we don't let God do a work in our lives is because we're afraid of what God may ask of us. We're afraid of that. There are people who got the invitation and they said, oh, well, you know, I need to get back to the farm. Well, you know, I can't, I don't need to right now. I've got some merchandise or I got a shop I got to take care of. Look at me, please. There is nothing more important than Jesus Christ and knowing you're going to heaven. The Bible talks about this an awful lot. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for a soul? A lot of people want to live for money and possessions and things. I'm just looking at you now and telling you the truth. There's nothing worth going to hell over. There's nothing worth going to hell over. These people made light of it. They said, whatever. They put it off. They were procrastinators. If you're here this morning and you don't know you're saved, young people, you don't know you're saved. You know it. You know the invitation's for you. But you just said no, and you will not. You need to underline that, because that's where you're at. And if you don't get off that path, you're going to end up in hell one day. There's procrastinators, then secondly, there are persecutors. I don't know that there would be anybody that would fall in that category here this morning. You see in verse number 6, "And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them." You know, there are some people out there that hate God. And I'm not going to be naive. I sat in churches and sat by people that have gone on to say they hate God. They'll get bitter at God. They'll get upset at God. There's people out there who seek to destroy what we believe in. And it's nothing new. I mean, how many times has Brother Slee given us in the history of our Bible those who sought to destroy God's Word? To burn it! To eradicate it! There's people that hate the Gospel. There's people, if you knock on their door, you say, "I'm from Cathedral Baptist Temple, I want to tell you how to get to heaven," they'll get angry at you. Now, we live in a very blessed country. In a country we don't see a whole lot of persecution yet. But now get this. Last year, according to the Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, we did a giant research. Last year on this planet, 2010, just at 200,000 people were martyred for our faith. Do you hear me? 200,000. In countries like China, there were many thousands who died. In countries that are controlled by some Muslim leadership that has banned our faith. So I don't hear about it on the news. You probably won't. Believe me, from studying the book of Revelation, it ain't going to get better. There are people who hate truth. Now, I don't know if there'd be anybody to follow that category here, but now look at me real quick, because this is important. And God just burdened me for young people this morning. But there's a few young people who right now you're making light of it. But if you don't get your heart right, it won't be long till you'll hate this. Right now you tolerate it. You're making light of it. You know, probably the greatest illustration of someone who just made light of it. I mean, you get people like Demas in the Bible. They love the present world. Right now you say, "Well, I don't hate God. I don't hate this church. I don't hate the Bible." If you don't get your heart right, you will. So I would never do that. There's a whole lot of people said that. But there are persecutors. I hope that's not you. A third, in the end of our passage, there's pretenders. Pretenders. Look at verse 11 again. "When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. He saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This man was a pretender. He was there, but he was a fake. There's a whole lot of people that can put on a show for a while. You can for a while. You can for a little while. So how do you know the difference between someone who is a fake and someone who is genuine? Someone who is genuine has changed. Someone who's fake doesn't change. That's what these scriptures say. This man walked in, but he hadn't changed. He hadn't changed and put on the wedding garment. See, what is the wedding garment? Colossians talks about it. That as a Christian, you put on a new man. Holiness, meekness, temperance. Your life is changed because of Jesus Christ. This man hadn't changed. This man was the same man he always was. But obviously, he was able to put on enough of a show that the other guests didn't notice it. The other guests didn't see it. None of the guests were pointing their fingers looking at this guy. But believe me, the king knows how to expose it. And the king walked in, and the king looked at that man, and the king knew it instantly, and the king looked at that man and said, "Hey, why haven't you changed?" There's a whole lot of people. You can sit in church all you want to. You can hold a King James Bible in your lap. But if God and salvation has never changed your life, quit fooling yourself. I'm sure that guy sat there and had everything rationalized in his mind, because we all do that. I'm sure he had everything kind of figured out, said, "Well, I'll be okay because of this, I'll be okay because of that." But the King knows how to expose us. We need to spend more time with the King. But the King knows how to come in. That's what happened, isn't it? The King walked in, and the King went up to that man, and the King said, "Hey, why didn't you change your garment?" Obviously, he's good enough fake to put on in front of other people. But folks, there's no fooling God. There is no fooling God. We may have everything rationalized in our mind, but get this from this guy too. When you stand before the King someday, no excuses. What's the Bible say about him? He was speechless. You know what your Bible says? Speechless. Someday we'll stand before the King. And if you're fake and your life has never changed, but you know how to on Sundays come and look right, but you know your heart has never changed, your desires have never changed, your goals have never changed, your life has never been transformed by the changing of God's salvation. And if any man be in Christ, he will be a what, Brother Moss? A new creature. Better count on that. Amen. Faith without works is what? Dead! It's not real. But here's a person. He was sitting there and the King said, "Hey, you never changed. The King knows our heart. You stand before the King one day, no fooling him." And I'm sure we can rationalize in our head right now if you want to. "Well, I've gone to church all my life. I've sat in a pew. I've never done this. I even put 20 bucks in the offering plate." You can rationalize all you want to, but when you stand before God, there won't one excuse come out of your mouth. You'll be just as this man, speechless. You may have 101 reasons why you might convince God right now to let you in anyways, but when you stand before God, speechless. Because when you see Jesus, when you see those prints, you'll know He's the way. That's truth. And no excuse will be uttered out of your mouth. And this man had a hellish exit, didn't he? They bound him, they cast him in the outer darkness with his weeping and gnashing of teeth. Folks, you might be able to pretend, brother and sister sons, might be able to pull the shade over Pastor so-and-so's eyes. But even that eventually shows itself, because the King always exposes truth. But I guarantee you, you'll never stand before the King of Kings and be able to fool Him. How do you know? How do you know, preacher, if you're changed? Amen. King said, you didn't change. Oh, write that word down, pretender. Forget the excuses. Look at your life. Ask yourself a question. Has the gospel changed my life? Or do you still have the same wicked desires, same wicked thoughts, same wicked life, but you know how to clean up on a Sunday? You better underline that word, and you better get it changed today. But then we close. There's a fourth group of person, and we'll back up a little bit. Those are the partakers. Those are the people who were there, who accepted that invitation. Look at it in verse number 10. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. What a great verse that is. Aren't you glad the gospel came to you? Amen. I know I was lost, but praise God I'm found now. Amen. That's called amazing, amazing grace. I'm thankful for the gospel. I'm thankful that whosoever will can drink of that water freely. I'm thankful today that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God wants everyone to be saved. The invitation is there. And I like that verse. I've loved it ever since I read it again this past week. They went out there in the highways. They went out there and gathered as many as they found. And I love that next phrase, both bad and good. You ever thought about that phrase? Bad and good. Bad and good. So what's that talking about? Bad and good. That's talking about that Jesus Christ can save anybody. Jesus Christ wants to save anybody. And I don't know Brother Eduardo. Been saved about 7 or 8 years now. Stand up, Brother Eduardo, if you don't care, right? Brother Eduardo. Melody. She's saved, correct, Brother Carr? Melody, stand up. I don't know much about Brother Eduardo's life. Don't care to know. But I know this. He was lost and on his way to hell. And I'm sure there are things he'd rather not share this morning that sin got him into. But those things are forgiven. Amen? They're gone. He wasn't raised under truth. He wasn't raised with the gospel being taught to him from the time he's born. Here's Melody. From the day she was born, she was prayed for by her mom and dad. From the day she was born, she was told Jesus loves her. From the time that she was born, she was raised in a church that taught her truth, that God loves her. Aren't you glad the gospel, and understand what I'm saying about this, but aren't you glad the gospel is both for the bad and the good? And guess what? They end up at the same place. Amen? They're both at the same place. It isn't that when Eduardo gets to heaven someday, God's going to say, well, Eduardo, you got here, but you're in the back of the line. Wrong! When the invitation's accepted, you're right there with everybody else. God wants to save the bad and the good. Amen! Amen! You say, well, then why should I train my children right? Because Eduardo was how old when you got saved? 34? And how old is Melody? 8. We want to train them right. Now I praise God. When we get to heaven, Melody and Eduardo will stand side by side singing praise to God and have all the same glory and all the same heaven and all the same presence of God, because the invitation goes out and He saves the good and the bad. And amen for that. You can be seated. Thank you. They're partakers. They've accepted it. And their life's changed. Their life's changed. Write the word partaker. Is that you? And I want everybody in this auditorium to underline one of those words. Because you're one of those this morning.
If you find yourself as the procrastinator who's made light of the gospel and said, nah, my own life first. If you find yourself as a pretender and your life has never changed and there's never been one mark of a change in you. Maybe you're a persecutor and you hate God and you're just buying your time so you can get out of here. If you're one of those this morning, here's the good part. The invitation is still there for you. And you can get saved today. That invitation, the King has sent a messenger this morning. You'll not find the servant's name in that because it don't matter. Right now, I'm just that unnamed servant who's here to tell you you're invited. Forget who I am. You're invited. God wants you to be saved today. And if you find yourself this morning underlined one of those words, you can change it today. And even go back to your seat today and scratch that out and underline partaker. Amen? That'd be great. If you are a partaker, you ought to praise God today. He saved me. And I'm on my way to heaven. Underline one of them. Father, I pray you take this invitation. Lord, I love you and I pray that you'd speak to hearts this morning. I pray that teenagers would...